Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. This is the MMA... Well, fuck, I can't even speak today. This is the Misfits of Gold Weekly Special, and I tell you what, you know, kind of hard to open my show when my two guests are speaking so loudly in the background when they're supposed to be quiet. But, you know, that's all good. You know, ruin my show in the beginning. You know, with that being said...
Yeah, I was wondering if that was even happening. I've always wondered that. I'm like, dude, I wonder if, like, if us talking there, do they hear it? So that actually kind of scares me, because I wonder what else, like, how many other shows we set to do it.
Oh, bro, trust me. There's been some crazy shit that you guys have talked about. You know, I kind of want to talk about an aspect of life that not very many people even look at, you know. It was my thought of the day, and I think it was something that I really wanted to bring into today's show. You know, and that's the thought of leadership. You know, we vote these people in the office. Yeah, that's all fine and dandy and this and that. But when you really break it down, leadership is an action, not a position. You know, and if you just reread that or rethink that, I mean, MF, when you think of that thought, what is the complexity or thought that comes to your mind? Because, you know, you're so politically involved.
I think it's, you know, like what you said, leadership, it's not necessarily a position, it's not a title, it's not anything like that. People become a leader because other people respected them and, you know, needed them to be in that position or wanted them to be in that position. But it's the people that constantly want to be the leaders, they want to be the forefront, they want to be this. It's not times out of 10, it's just for attention. It's just for that kind of glory, I guess you want to say, like the notch on the belt, you know, like I'm the fucking leader, I'm this and that's this. But not, you know, anytime the shit hits the fan, they're always the first ones to run, the first ones to blame it on something else, you know. It's always somebody else's fault, it's never them. But like when you're the leader, bro, like you got to take that responsibility, you know. I mean, people respected you, that's why you ended up where you were. You know, it's not like I don't respect you just because you have that title. You know, it doesn't fucking matter to me. It's just a title. But it's like you show me that you're fucking, you know, you're that person. Sure as shit, dude. I will fucking, you know, I'll stand right beside you, but I ain't following no one.
Right. Travis, I know you're a little bit young and wet around the, you know, ears still a little bit, but we'll go ahead and let you touch on that one.
I mean, man, it kind of goes along the lines of what I'm constantly saying on this show. And, you know, it's a line that I stole from he's a SEAL commander, and his name is Jocko Willink. He's written several books, and his most recent book is called, actually, The Dichotomy of Leadership. And it's all about him being a SEAL team commander and, you know, truly the dichotomy of leadership. The fact, you know, just kind of like what Annette was saying, the best leader is not the loudest person. It's not the guy who wants to be the leader. It's the person who can see past people's egos. It's almost more of a position of psychology and understanding the people you're leading than it is about being the most alpha badass motherfucker in the room. Because you might be the biggest, baddest, most alpha, but if you can't get your squad, you know, or the people that you're leading to listen to you, to respect you, it doesn't fucking matter. You know, I mean, that was one of the biggest problems I personally had with MMA Gold. You know, you're asking us to follow and respect somebody as a leader and as our head coach, but at the same time, we know he's a fucking dirtbag, and we know he's dishonest, and we know that he's selfish. We know that everything that he does is just his ego trying to, you know, sustain itself. So, I mean, I think it's spot on, Don, and, you know, it's exactly what you said. Leadership is an action. It's not a position. And it goes along with what MF always says, you know, that the leader doesn't get there because, what do you always say?
It's you don't get respect because you're the leader. You became the leader because you were respected.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, and that's what I think is missing from society today. You know, we look at leaders from the past. You know, we look at people who have stepped up and, you know, made a difference, whether the actions or retaliation against them, you know, ended up in death of family members, death of themselves. Throughout history, there has been several people that have stood up to voice their opinion to the voiceless, you know. And it's sad when even Travis, you know, and I, Travis, I know I pick on you, but you're really my buddy, but you're the youngest one on the panel. I mean, and even you can go back and state the last two profound aspects of culture that stood up for society, and that being Rosa Parks and Martin Luther King. You know, people kind of say Ronald Reagan did, but you know what? I tend to disagree with that, you know. But when I truly look at the aspects of who truly stood up without the weariness of ill regard towards them, Martin Luther King was truly the last one. Do you think if we had truly had, and I know we've talked about this aspect before, but do you think if we truly had somebody that could step up and be a voice, do you think it would make a difference in today's culture and society, or do you think it's too late?
I mean, you know, it's a funny thing because, you know, we'll take Martin Luther King, for example, like you said there. We're living in a culture nowadays that has learned so much more about things that, you know, make this profound impact in society. Case in point, there's a very famous photo of, you know, a black man during segregation who is simply walking down the street and the police are sicking German Shepherds on him. And you see this man sitting there, not doing anything other than walking, with a dog about to be sick upon. Now, you look at things like social media, for example, things that we all use, and it seems to me that, you know, the government, the powers that may be, are getting so much better at stopping these iconic movements. You know, like, look at, what was it, Occupy Wall Street was the last, you know, big movement we had where people were actually standing up against the government. But by giving them absolutely no media coverage, and then by the government actually infiltrating Occupy Wall Street with undercover officers who then later, they're called agent provocateurs. And this is actually something that Alex Jones pointed out. But during Occupy Wall Street, the FBI sent in plainclothes agents to go start lighting fires and making a riot so that then now the police can come in and break up, shut down Occupy Wall Street. You know, so it's one of those things where it's like, if we even do get a leader today, like take Martin Luther King, for example. I don't know if we were to have a Martin Luther King today on social media, you know, I don't see how he could even get going without both the left and the right demonizing him. It seems like we kind of, as a society or as a government or whatever force is behind it, it seems like we kind of cannibalize all of these good leaders that we have. And I don't know. It's definitely a big question, and I don't know if in today's society with, you know, our shortened media cycle and all this, I don't know if you can have a leader all the impact that someone like Martin Luther King would have. I mean, just today, you know, if you were to bring Martin Luther King up today, I can't tell you how many people from the Democrats, from the left side, would just go on and on about Martin Luther King being a womanizer and the fact that he cheated on his wife and all of this kind of thing. So I don't know, Don. I don't know if you can have the kind of leader today with today's society, with the social media and all the fakeness that you had back in the day. I think it's a really good question.
And that's your thoughts?
No, I don't necessarily think it's possible nowadays. I mean, it could be. But too many people are so focused on themselves in an aspect where it's like they're focusing on other people's lives but not themselves. And I know that really doesn't make too much sense, like, as far as how it sounds. But when you look at it, people will follow whatever they follow. You know what I mean? Like, sheep will follow whoever feeds them, even if that same person that's feeding them will lead them to slaughter later. You know what I mean? People are happy being led. People are happy being in their little docile lives, you know, like the happy illusion, you know, like ignorance is bliss type shit. But as far as, like, having a leader out there, it's like what Travis said, they're really good at shutting things down that they don't want out there, you know what I mean, regardless of what it is. Like, we talked about it a couple times, even as recent as that little fucking kid death camp out in New Mexico. You barely heard shit about that. But had there been anybody else or any other fucking group, religion, whatever it was, everybody would have been up in the fucking arms about the shit. But nobody cares, you know what I mean? So it's all on how society is and how they're being trained to do so. So, like, say, like, if there were to be a leader, this leader could not be in the forefront. And if there was somebody in the forefront, it would have to be two people, somebody that's in the light and somebody that's in the dark. So that's the only way that anything's ever going to be able to cover, like, be covered 100%, you know what I mean? Because a lot of these things, it's like people follow rules and there's people that don't follow rules. But how do you stop the people from not following the rules? Sometimes you got to send in a monster to get a monster, you know what I mean? That's just the way it fucking goes. So I think it could be possible, but this year, you know, like, what would you say, percentage of capability? Like, yeah, it would have to take, like, two strong people. Somebody's going to be in the forefront taking all the brunt force of everything, and somebody in the shadows that's sitting there making shit happen, you know? But that's the only way I see it being possible.
You know, the next topic I kind of want to jump onto is going to be it's going to be kind of deep, and I may get some hate for this, but you know, it's out there publicly now. I truly think the fall of the Catholic Church is upon us. I truly think that with the way things perplex themselves and in the news and the way they were handled by some of the churches in the United States towards the Vatican, that we will see the demise of the Catholic religion as far as people demonstrating their faith to the priest and the religious aspects in general. You know, they've been hiding the dirty little secret that the community in America has known about and the world has known about for quite some time, and that being homosexuality, you know, child abuse, things of this nature. But now it's at a grand scale. Now it's in the lap of the Pope, and the Pope keeps pushing it off on make your own journalistic value out of that. When you look at the scenario that's, you know, popped its head out, you know, in the news in the last few days, do you think that this is going to be the demise of the Catholic religion, or do you think people are just going to turn their cheek and allow children to be manipulated and raped and you know, society just accept it? And I'll start with you, MF.
Let me get this one. I got a couple of theories on that. You know, like, I've been watching that pretty close. And as far as it goes, like, I said this on the show, I don't even know how many times, but it's not that it's coming to a front. It's that there's no way for them to hide it anymore. You know what I mean? Like, the way humans can communicate now and how fast things can happen and how one, you know, you can say one thing over here, like, case in turn, like, how we're talking right now. How many fucking hundreds of miles away are we? Like, in between us, you know what I mean? And the fact that we could have this conversation, like, information, news, whatever you want to call it, it travels at an astronomical rate. You know what I mean? Like fucking light speed, like faster than that shit. Like it could get there. I don't know how else to go into fucking explain that shit, but you get my point. But I believe it's been happening for quite some time, and it's just now it's coming to a point where they can't fucking hide it. But then I also fucking believe, call me a fucking, you know, conspiracy theorist, whatever, this is a setup to bring in the one world religion. That's point blank fucking period. It's obvious. You're going to tear down something old. You're going to give these people some kind of gratitude knowing that they took out this one religion. So the next one that springs up is going to be the true religion, the one that's not going against fucking the higher power. You know what I mean? All these other ones were false. I think it's just – not a smokescreen, but it's a fucking bait in the hook to get people to side more with the one world religion when they do come under that. Because you look at everything that's happening right now, like I hate to even say it, but it's like – you're having, even like the Muslims right now, like you don't really hear too much about them in the news no more. But just like a year or two ago, shit, they were the fucking demons. They were the devil. They were fucking everything else. Now it's white conservative men. You know what I mean? Like, it's fucking wild to me. But you look at it right now, it's like the church is going against the non-church folk. And unfortunately, the non-church folk are not on. And that's just the way it fucking goes. Because if you look at church folk and what I mean by that, majority of people on the right, you know what I mean? They're gonna follow more toward the person who's leading them to the fucking Holy Land, where you get the other people that are just like, oh, you know, this was just some giant fart that somebody fucking made up. You know, everything's perfect mathematically, but that was all by fucking chance. And they're the ones that don't like guns and don't like protection and fucking, you know, they got everybody's feelings and everything else. It's going to be a one-sided battle, dude. And eventually you're going to get that one world religion because people on both sides are going to be able to agree that that was the right side to fucking follow. And there comes the end.
You know, I look at the whole situation, and this is, I'll get to my thoughts in a second. But, Travis, you got anything you want to add to that, brother?
I mean, man, it's funny. I don't know if it's because me and MF are so close, but, you know, I have a lot of the kind of the same opinion on it. You know, you see that Elon Musk is trying to put satellites in space so that everybody has internet access, you know, which is a great thing when you think about it. But, you know, like I said, not to try and go down too deep into the conspiracy theory rabbit hole, but, you know, when you're talking about globalism, when you're talking about this one world economy that we're basically setting up right now with the Trans-Pacific Partnership that, you know, we've been rewriting for the past 3 or 4 years in a row, you know, but it's one of those things where, which way is it going to go, Don? Are we going to, is society going to fall? And is it going to, you know, go back into the 1500s? Are we going to get some type of, you know, dystopian overlords where there really is a one world government, a one world rule, and something emerging, you know, like he said, a religion of common knowledge, if you will, a religion of where it takes all of the good aspects of all of these religions, you know, don't rape, don't kill, don't murder, don't steal from your neighbor. You know, and tries to promote them into, like you said, a one-world religion, a one global community, which, you know, I think that's where a lot of our problems are coming from. We have all this tribalism, and we have all these individuals. We have people from China and Africa and Russia and America. And right now, as a species, we are becoming kind of a symbiotic one-world thing where we're all connected by this, you know, telephone. So I'll give you the question, Don. Let's extrapolate 10 years from now. And what happens when they take their cell phone and they turn it into some kind of a microchip and they put it into your brain? And now we really do have, you know, a one-world government, a one-world religion, a one-world thing that's inside everybody's head and connects people instantaneously. You know, it sounds so far-fetched, but there are just so many different ways that our future can go. And it all depends on how we let it, you know. Are we going to allow cell phones to become so invasive that, you know, one scientist ends up putting his smartphone behind his eyeball and now he can see the internet everywhere he's going, you know? But it's going to depend on how we as a people react and how we as a people choose for the future to go, you know? We always talk on here, Donna, are we going to go back to family values? Are we going to go back to having a conversation and shaking somebody's hand and looking them in the eye? Or are we going to allow ourselves to be controlled by technology, by government, by religion, by this one world thing that's getting stronger and stronger and more invasive? So I'll ask you that, Don. Do you think it's more likely that we are going to wake up as a people and realize that, hey, we got to put the fucking cell phones down and go back to being a community? Or do you think that people are so weak now that we're going to just continue to allow technology to get to the point where it's so invasive that we really do have some type of a one-world globalist religion and globalist mindset?
That was a long-ass fucking question.
Indeed it was.
Yeah, right?
Right, all I do, get to the point, bro.
Like Dr. Wannabe Phil. No. No, but, you know, I it's a perplexing question. But, you know, the thing, the way I look at it, do I think that people are going to put their phones down? No.
Fuck.
Do I think we're going to come to one sort of global religion? No. You know, the reason I say this is because I think that society has come to the conclusion that they're looking for the next person to lead them or give them something that they can relate to. And the only thing that is allowing that is the social media aspect. But in return, what you get is you're going to see more aspects of situations like David Koresh. You're going to see more cults. You're going to see different aspects of life. I mean, you look at it now. I mean, 3 years ago, the homosexuality movement wasn't even an issue in journalism. But now I deal with it every day. Now it's become an everyday aspect of the show because I can't bring on a fighter because 90% are homosexuals. You know, on the female side. You know, I have interviewed fighters that are male that are homosexual. You know, and you know, you look at that aspect, and so much has changed, and so many people are following. And the point I'm getting at is I think there's already been too much acceptance from society that it's become a complacency. You know, I think for us, in order for us to find the real hardcore values that bring back them family reunions, the family dinners, people sitting down and congregating and correlating as one, I think those days are long gone because, you know, we all know it. You go to a restaurant, you see a family sitting at the table. They're not fucking talking to each other. They're texting to each other. But yet they're 3 feet across from each other. You know, society has gotten to the point that verbal communication is becoming a thing of the past. And I think it's an atrocity. But I disagree with what will become one global religion. But I do think that it's too late for us to have that aspect of the old. I think those days are long gone. You know, where do we go from here? You know, I don't think society's strong enough to put down the cell phone. I really don't. I don't think that even in our greatest efforts, we could make a change in that aspect. And correct me if I'm wrong, MF or Travis, but I mean, do you feel my sentiments, or am I just harping or blowing smoke up a wind?
I definitely get what you're saying. I don't think that people are ever going to get away from their cell phones either. You know, it's like Travis has said it numerous times. It's like once you learn something, it's incredibly difficult to imagine what it was like before you learned it. You know what I mean? So as people get more accustomed to technology and even their phones, you know, like 10 years ago, dude, like our phones weren't this fucking crazy. You know what I mean? Like they were kind of getting there, but they definitely weren't this fucking wild. It was like 2008, I think it was 2008 the first iPhone came out. And that thing just, you know, people were fucking, like, baffled by it. Like, oh, my God, like, what the fuck is this? But, you know, I definitely, you know, we agree to disagree on the other aspect. You know, I think people are happy being led. Like, what you're talking about, they're looking for that person that's going to, you know, save the day. They're looking for that white knight, whoever the fuck it's going to be, that's going to, you know, lead them to salvation, lead them to peace, lead them to their happy little, you know, what would you call it, utopian lifestyle. But, you know, that same person, I believe, is going to lead people to slaughter. Because anybody that easily believes that, it's like, you know, anybody that tells me that they have the answers or that they understand, I normally don't listen to. I listen to people that question everything they know, everything everybody else knows, you know what I mean? But if somebody all of a sudden has the answer, like, all my shit, it could be fucking wild. It could be, you know, whatever it is. It's a theory. It's an assumption. It's just an accumulation of data that I put together that I've come up with my own fucking theory. You know, I'm not saying it's right or wrong. It's a theory. Fuck, I mean, you know, science can't even tell you that much. But yeah, no, I don't see people, you know, making their lives harder for any reason. You know, like life is going and people are going to where they're trying to make life easier, you know, no strife, no struggle, no nothing. But it's like, that's the shit that fucking, you know, forges people, forges the strong people, because we're not made. You know, when people talk about, oh, they, you know, you should be confident about this, you should be confident in who you are. And I actually asked Demetrius, you know who he is. I asked him, like, what the fuck have you done to earn that confidence? What have you accomplished to have that type of confidence? I'm like, you see potential with what? I was like, if you look at how your life has led, it led you to this point because nothing has worked. So what potential do you see? What have you earned? What, you know, have you put in the work to get that confidence? If you haven't, then it's not just magically going to fucking appear. You can look on social media and see all those other fucking people. I mean, they pretty much fucking show it. It's like, oh, I'm single, 100 selfies, fail. You know what I mean? On both sides. It's like, let's just fucking look at that. Like, I need validation, people. I feel like my life just, I can't fucking do it. You know, I mean, I don't know fucking in front of me. It makes no sense to me, dude. Like, I like the, you know, the real fucking relationships. Like, even like what we have right here is realer than 90% of the shit that goes on the fucking internet. We've never even met face-to-face, dude. Like, think about that shit.
I know, right? I mean, and you know, it's funny you brought that up because I look at that person. I look at certain aspects, and you know, I'm like you guys, man. If I put something up there, I put it up there because it's either a thought or a show or, you know, an aspect. But you know, I look at social media as for a place for people to have a pity party. Man, sorry, but I'm not fucking buying it. You know, I don't feel sorry for you. You know, I see people, with the exception of Oleg and Jay, you know, I see these internet stars come and go. And, you know, it's a false life. It's a false realism. You know, do you ever, and I'm going to put this towards you, Travis, since you're the youngest one. Do you, in some certain aspects, feel that from the time that you were young enough to understand what and where you were going in life, do you feel the sense of realism has disappeared? Do you think that that aspect of a true culture is being lost, even in your generational aspect?
Oh, 100%. Absolutely. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've said it, but you look at everybody's Facebook, and all that is a physical embodiment of people's ego. You know, that's the one time I was on a yacht, the one time I went to this place, the one time I was with this person, you know. It is the best version of what people want their lives to be, you know. And it's one of those things where, you know, and I know that this is on me, but social media has made me dislike people who I once had a lot of respect for, who I once thought had their shit together, who I once thought, you know, examined their own thoughts and thought about the things that they were that they're doing. And man, you know, it's just like we were saying, you know, talk about that person earlier. You know, you go on any stripper's Instagram, and what is it? Nothing but inspirational quotes about how incredible their life is and how selfless they are. You know, so it's another one of those things, man, where I think that people have to accept their reality. You know, you have to stop making your subjective experience objective reality. You know, they're two completely different things, and I think that we're literally being taught in this country that words are violent, that your feelings are real. And one of the biggest things that I've, you know, tried to teach myself over the past, you know, several years is that your emotions are not real. Love is this thing called oxytocin. You know, you have 26, I think it is, chemical peptides that are responsible for the feelings that you're having. And if you're just going to be one of those people who is just, you know, a flag in the wind, and every time they feel some bit of emotion, if they feel sad or they feel happy or they feel angry, you know, they can't control it, and they just go on that momentum of their past. I think one of the best things that people can do to kind of get out of this fake world is you have to be objective to yourself. You have to stop lying to yourself about, you know, who you really are, who you really want. You know, stop lying to your friends about the fact that, you know, you might like some things or might even be doing some things that you don't even like and you're just involved with because of, you know, the group of people that you're around. But I think until everybody can get that extreme ownership, until everybody can sit down and look at themselves in the mirror and go, look, I need to stop fucking bullshitting and lying to myself. That way I can stop bullshitting and lying everybody I fucking meet into. You know, we're not ever going to get anywhere as a society because we're trying to make all of these false, fake things real. We're trying to pretend like you can wake up in the morning and decide what gender you are and decide that you're a skin or an elf kin or some type of a fucking half fairy, and that we need to put legislation in place to where in the objective world you'll be locked in a fucking cage if you don't call somebody a fox kin. You know, I think that, Don, we just have to get back. We got to get back to what's real. We got to get back to the objective reality in which we all share and stop trying to make the world what we want it to be and accept the world for what it is.
Yeah, you know, I have to agree with you there, you know, and social media, man, that's just become a fucking joke. You know, I notice the more I get, the more kind of stuff I get in my inbox, and you know, different correlations and things, and it's become a prostitution highway. I mean, it's a joke, man. I get all these inboxes. You want to sex me long time? Hit this link. You know, it's like, but yeah, I can't post have a blessed day. I mean, get the fuck out of here. I mean, I don't know, man. You know, they've already taken away my fucking Lucky Charms, my rainbows, my unicorns. Fuck. You know, what else are they going to take away? You know, like I told you, I predict in the next 2 years when you go to the public pool, nobody's going to be swimming laps. Everybody's going to be swimming in circles because everybody's going to be so far to the fucking left, they're not going to know a difference. I mean,
they might not know how to swim.
Yeah, well, we can sink or swim in a circle.
Right. Now, let's say this briefly. Waist high, dog. We ain't going to the chest.
You know what? God, people are going to hate me for this, but, you know, I'd be
doesn't everybody anyway?
Right. But, you know, I'd be the first to save somebody's life, but I tell you what, man, and this sounds cruel, but, and you guys, ridicule me if you want, but I would have to think a second or third time before I gave mouth-to-mouth to, some, you know, somebody I know who sucked penis or, you know, I have an issue with that, bro. I mean, it's like, I mean, do you take your life into your own hands to save another? I mean, Travis, I'm going to ask you that question. Would you?
Oh, man.
If you knew this person, no, hold up. If you knew this person was homosexual and, you know, was promiscuous or whatever, not, well, even in just a regular relationship, but if you knew they suck penis on the regular and you saw them choking on a piece of food, would you give them mouth to mouth?
Called the Heimlich, bro.
Definitely the Heimlich. They might like that a little better, though. But,
let's say they needed mouth to mouth. Would you give them mouth to mouth, bro?
I mean, it's one of those things that.
No, it's either yes or no. It's not a, well, I gave him a reach around. You know, it's
my
yes or no.
Listen to it.
Because I know for me, Don, I carry one of them little face shields in my fucking car, in my little emergency kit. Because honestly, there's equal number of, you know, haggard, homeless-looking women out there who I'm not giving mouth-to-mouth to either. 80% of people have herpes, and I'm yet to have a cold sore. I'm trying to hold on to that one.
Oh, damn, MF. What's your...
Man, you know, he actually touched on my only fucking point. Well, actually, I guess in case it's a two-point, but it's like, I'm definitely not a saint to the point where, I care about everybody and I can save everybody. But, you know, I'm not quite a dirtbag enough to where I could just sit there and watch somebody dying right in front of me. But with that in mind, same thing, like, I'm not going to give myself herpes or some kind of fucking weird shit, or if you're, like, a known junkie, like, I don't care if you're male or female, gay or not, like, I'm not going to watch somebody die right in front of me. But if I know your ass contracted some shit, you got some shit, your shit got some shit, I'm not getting that to save you. They're so sorry. Like, if I got a face shield like what Travis says, yes, but I'm not going to put myself in danger to save your ass when, you know what I mean, you should have been doing other shit to fucking be a little more righteous. But, like I said, like, I can't just watch somebody die right in front of me, whether they're gay or not. Like, I couldn't fucking do it. But if you got some cold sores and you got some other shit on this lip that's got some shit on this lip, like, I'm definitely going to think about it. Like, I might pull your shirt up over your, you know, over your mouth, like, cover some shit up. But it's like, yeah, I couldn't just watch nobody die right in front of me. We'll keep that shit gangster. But, you know, other shit, like, might make me think twice, but if you got, you know, you got some shit on your lip, or got some shit on his lip, then that shit on his lip ain't touching my lip.
Oh, the questions I come up with sometimes, man. Oh, holy snap. You know, I wouldn't let nobody die in front of me, but, you know, it's the day and age we're in. I mean, think about it, you know. It's something that you really have to think about because, you know, you may or may not be a father. You may or may not have a family. You know, so these are criteria that you really self-consciously have to look at and make that assumption. And, you know, I'm like you. I'm going to keep it gangster. I'm not going to let nobody die in front of me. But, you know, I tell you what, you know, it's one of them things that make you go, you know, or it makes you think twice. And, you know, that's the way the world is going. You know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, this wouldn't even have been a question that people would even, you know, listen to twice. But here we are now in 2018, and it's a relevant question. You know, I don't care what two people do in their bed. We talked about transgender and this and that. I've seen this video a few weeks back, and I think you both know the video I'm talking about. It's a person that claims to be a woman, but yet, you know, is still a man. But a lot of people are clinging to this aspect and starting to growing, I guess you would say, curiosity. I don't know, but this thing is starting to grow. You know, people are starting to like it. And I'm sitting back here as a person of great American values, or what I'd like to think are. And deep in the back of my head, I'm going, how can anybody think this is all right? How can anybody back this aspect? You know, I go back to California when I sent one, I owned a flower company, and I sent one of my guys to Mountain View, California. About 2:30 in the morning, I get a phone call. He's been arrested. You know, they had stopped off at Cattleman's and were having a few drinks and dancing. He got the kissing on us. I don't know, whatever. They got back into my van, and, you know, he went to go put his hand somewhere and got a handful of penis. And so he ended up beating the shit out of this thing because he felt like a fool. And he went to jail for it, you know. So how can that situation be wrong, but yet these aspects of life are allowed to be portrayed? And what type of law should be instilled to protect the people that are normal that get caught up in these situations?
Well, first things first, assault is assault, no matter how you slice it, no matter who does it, you know what I mean? So it's almost like you just kind of got to leave
MF.
With no fucking... Huh?
Hold up, MF. If you were with what you presumed was a female, and you went to go grab a handful of something and you got a handful of penis, what would you do?
Well, if I beat that ass, then I accept if I go to jail or not. I almost like Addy, like, you know, like, what, I'm not supposed to do something? You know, that's my point. It's like getting ringed with no fucking grease on, dude. You know what I mean? Like, you got, you know, McSnickered, you got fooled, humiliated all in one fucking, you know, quick little burst of shit that you did willingly, which, you know, adds another fucking, you know, dagger to the heart. You know, I'm not trying to make fun of nobody, but it's like, fuck, man, like, you put somebody in that type of a situation, like, you got to understand what it can do to somebody who, what if they're, you know, I can't say uber religious, because why the fuck are you going to be in that position in the first place if you're uber religious? But you get what I mean, you know what I mean? It's like, to put somebody in that type of a situation, it's like, you trick them, and yet you don't see how how somebody could react like that. Like, that's what I don't understand, you know? Yeah, dude fucking beat up the him, whatever you want to call it, whatever it wants to be called. You know what I mean? Like, well, give it to you. I don't fucking know. You know what I mean? Like, they can feel however they want to feel about some shit. But it's just a thing, too. It's like, you're hiding a very, very personal fact. You know what I mean? That at least I could say 99% of the guys I know put in that situation would probably end up fucking punching in the mouth, at fucking least. You know what I mean? At least. And that's keeping it as brutally honest as I can. You know, like, I've never been in that position. I can definitely recognize one. You know what I mean? Like, they're kind of distinct in certain features. Like, it's like, I don't know. You guys call me fucking crazy. Yeah, you know, like, alcohol's a bitch and drugs are a bitch, too. So I guess, you know, there's all types of, like, circumstances. But, yeah, it's fucked up that the system is, like, it's okay to trick somebody into fucking doing some shit like that. That's like, okay, what if, like, this person fucking got you hooked on or, you know, exposed you to heroin that you had no idea you were even fucking doing? Next thing you know, you're all fucking doped up. What if your ass was to fucking die? You know, that person is going to be held accountable because they fucking gave you some shit that you had no idea about. So it's like, kind of like the same thing. It's like, you exposed me to that situation knowingly that you are what you claim or want to be, you know. But if I'm not okay with that, you can't be mad if I punch you in the mouth, because technically that's like assault in my opinion, because you tricked me. You completely fooled me into doing something that I would not normally do. Like, to me, like, you might as well assault me, because that's what's going to fucking happen. If I got to go to jail for that shit, yeah, you know what I mean? At least my manhood's still there.
I mean, and just to piggyback on that, Don, why, what year did it happen that people can't fucking fight anymore? Where is the fucking disconnect in humanity to where in the past, what, 50 years? I mean, I remember when I was a little kid, you could get in a fight with another little kid, then the parents would make you sit down, talk it out, hang out for a while, and you get to the fucking end of it. As males, you know, as human males in this society, we have this huge amount of testosterone, and I think for men to become men, to have some of that conflict. I think by us as a society deeming that anybody who gets into a fight, anybody who gets into the smallest amount of mutual combat needs to be locked in a fucking cage for 10 years is absolutely ridiculous, and I think that it really affects society in a big way. I think two men, if they have a problem, should be allowed to fucking fight in the fucking street and nobody go to jail for it. You know, I think that that is something that has been taken away from our society. And it's really helped kind of shape us into the weak, defenseless fucking society we've become.
I have to agree with you there. You know, boy, there's some weird questions today. It's just, I had to write a book called The Back of Don's Mind, you know? it probably won't sell no copies. Fuck, I'll have to probably buy them all myself. But, you know, it kind of brings me to a different aspect of where I want to take this show today. Yeah, I had no idea I was going to go that route, but it's my show. I roll which way I want to roll. You know, I look back to the show that we had the Preacher Man on, and, you know, I really like that aspect of the show. You know, it was like for the first time we all had somebody on the show that intellectually, morally, and in the general aspect of life lives a different or walks a different path than we do, but yet was willing to sit in a conversation with us, answer questions and give rebuttals. And I think that's a tremendous aspect of what this show can do. You know, when you guys walk away from that show the day that the Preacher Man was on and MF, your buddy, was on the show, you know, do you think that that type of scenario can make a major change in society? I don't think we can make it worldwide, but do you think if people were just to sit down from all different equations that are open-minded and are willing to listen to each other, do you think that that type of aspect can make a difference?
Absolutely, you know. But it's going to reach the people that it's meant to reach, you know, and they're going to reach out the way that they're meant to. You know, this show is obviously not going to be for everybody. You know, we're all fucking wild. And then I was like, how many people can really have a conversation, disagree on some shit, but move on? Like, okay, yeah, we disagree on some shit, okay. You know, and like, we're not fighting about it. Like, I'm not going to like, oh, my way is fucking right. Nah, you know. But like, when you can have people come on and like have a conversation, I think that's what's great, and that's what's lacking in humanity, just in general, you know, because nobody communicates with each other no more. Nobody ever really takes the time to really get to know somebody. They only know what's on their Facebook, what's on their Instagram. You know, they only know what everybody else is showing. But it's like, by having a conversation, you know, I mean, you can kind of get to know them a little bit. And once you can, like, understand their pain, like anybody's pain, you know, we've all gone through shit, right? That's the way that we fucking connected. If you could share that pain, then at that point in time and only at that point can you really truly get to understand a person. You know, and I think that's what's cool about their show is that maybe we actually offer that outlet to the people that feel that way. You know what I mean? It's like a lot of people feel like nobody gets me. Nobody, you know, wants to listen to me because they all think I'm fucking crazy, or it's like society wants me to do this, or my family wants me to do this, or fucking blah, 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 blah. You know, it's like to be able to have that conversation, you know what I mean? Like if I'm wrong, I want you to fucking tell, like prove to me I'm wrong. Don't tell me. You know, it's like don't sit here and tell me shit because you tell me shit's not going to do anything. That's why we have conversations, you know what I mean? Maybe I can enlighten somebody else. Maybe somebody else can enlighten fucking me. Same thing. Maybe you can do it, Dom. Maybe Travis can do it. Maybe somebody else can, like, fucking light a light bulb off in your head. And that's how it goes. It's like that communication. And when people feel like they've been outcasted, you know, like the fucking misfits, dude. Like, we all just kind of, like, flock together because we understand each other's pain. We understand what they've gone through, you know, like how society's shown them, how their family's, like, look at them like a black sheep. All these things keep happening. But yet they still find a way to be positive and still find a way to trust people, dude. Like, it's a strange thing, but, you know, if that's what, you know, your task is, dude, and like that's what the fate is. It's like, I think that's what you do even outside of this show. You connect people that normally wouldn't be connected, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, I'm trying to, I'm actually coming to, I don't even know what the freaking word is. I'm coming to understand why I'm considered a talk show. I mean, I had Todd Medina, one of the original UFC fighters, on the other night. And, man, this show really broke my heart. I mean, Daniel Cormier was on my show right before UFC 200 and talked about the loss of his child. But then, you know, I asked Todd Medina a question. And this is how weird my shows go sometimes. I'm not going to say weird because it's a bad word. You know, It took an avenue that
unique.
I didn't expect. You know, I had asked him a question. I said, you were on a 6 or 7 fight win streak. Why did you leave the sport, Todd? And he got quiet. And he talked about how his daughter had a staph infection in her lung. And they had, you know, built this special sink, you know, and made it a tub for her, and how they had a Rottweiler that always, you know, stood by her wherever she was. And he said that the dog was slunched over, so he went over there, and the baby was just laying there, and he picked up his daughter, and she had died in his arms. And the man doesn't even do radio, let alone, I think this was the first time he had ever told the story, because one of his friends is a really good friend of mine, and they've known each other for quite a long time. And I look at that aspect of what I provide through my show. And, you know, maybe that man has been wanting to get this off of his chest for so many years so he can feel he can move forward in life. I don't know. You know, all I know is what I bring to the show is from my heart. What I say to these fighters is real. I'm not going to bullshit anybody, as you know. I mean, hell, I even told Dave Caveman Rickles after he insulted my mutual host that he said he was, you know, he sucked. And I said, like you did your last three fights. I mean, I have no problem saying to somebody's face what I say on the air or behind their back or whatever. I'm going to say it to you. I don't have an issue with that. But where the show has defined itself, it's really, honestly, to be honest with you, it's humbled me, and I don't even have the understanding of why these fighters come on and share what they do. I mean, here we're on the show together. We talk about everything and anything, but to have some of the greatest gladiators that I've ever stepped in, or, you know, on the mat or cage or ring, come on my show and share aspects that nobody knew, it's humbling to me. I mean, I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't think I ever will. You guys listen to my show. You guys understand me. What is it about the show that allows people to share themselves in a manner that nobody else can?
It's simple, Don. It's honesty. You know, I think that's one of the big things, you know, that I really realized about Adrian. You know, I didn't realize it on the show, but it really came through on the show. You know, I said at the end of last week's show that, you know, the reason we get along so well is everybody knows that I am from no religious background whatsoever. I mean, up until probably 2 or 3 years ago, you could call me a, you know, fundamental atheist. Now I call myself more of an agnostic. But at the same time, man, you know, Adrian's one of those people who, yes, he has a very, very Christian background and everything you can say. But at the same time, he doesn't hold that dogma. You know, he doesn't hold it to be absolute law. You know, you can tell that what the man is saying, he's not saying he's right, but what he's giving you is his honest opinion. And that's a lot of what you do, Don. You know, you don't come on here and try and convince everybody, hey, I'm right because I think this way and this is why I'm right, so everybody should think like me. No, you come on and say, look, this is my honest opinion, this is how I see it, this is why I see it in this way, this is how it relates to my past and the lessons that I've learned from it, and this is how I see it objectively. You can see it objectively as something different than I do, but it's still being able to come to this conversation, you know, with dishonesty. And I can't tell you how many, you know, 99% of people, even people that I'm, you know, friends with, and I was good friends with, you can have everything in common with somebody. But then as soon as they find, you know, that 1%, there's a 1% failure rate. And as soon as there's that 1% of somebody that you don't like or that you don't see on social media, you know, now they're the enemy. Now you can't get along with them. And I think that, you know, that's what helps this show survive. It helps this show thrive. It's not the fact that we're on here trying to tell people our opinions and that, oh, you should think this way, you should act this way. But it's the fact that we're just going to come here and we're going to have a conversation about two sides of an issue, and we're going to try and find some middle ground.
Definitely,
we might not find that middle ground. Yeah. And, you know, we might not find that middle ground all the time, but that doesn't mean that, you know, you're shit and I'm shit and that everybody's wrong or that I have to think you're wrong. You know, so it's just coming to these different kinds of conversations, whether it's about fighting, whether it's about engineering, whether it's about somebody's daughter dying, you know. It's about approaching all of these situations honestly and objectively. And I think that's the difference with your show, John. Is you don't give a fuck. You know, you're going to tell somebody your honest opinion, whether or not it pisses them off or not. And almost nobody in the world today will do that.
You know, it's kind of crazy. I mean, last night with even my own brother on the show, Zach Cummings, you know, I started out the interview in a fight that he lost that I felt he was complacent in. And, you know, we took it upon that angle and we moved forward. And, you know, it's, I think people, if you would just speak your mind a little bit more freely, but in a more articulated manner than you generally would, I think most people would understand, you know, the avenue that you're trying to, you know, put out there. And it's crazy about life because, you know, my life is fitting to change for the better here real shortly. And, you know, I'll share that with the world when that moment comes. But, you know, it's crazy because I was reached out, a publication firm from Marvel and DC Comics reached out to me. And they've got this new magazine coming out. And they want to come on the show Friday and share this unveiling to the public through my show, which is something I never thought I would ever do. I mean, first and foremost, I'm not a comic book guy, but, you know.
We are.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are. I'm not. But it's really dope, man, the aspect.
Everybody needs a hero, Don.
What's that?
Everybody needs a hero.
You know, hey, man, I'll probably end up being a character in this thing, so I don't even know. But, you know, the first unveiling of it is
going
to be... No, man, I'm not more. I'm Barbara Walters, bitch. Let's get that right.
I don't know, man. I like the way Morgan talks. Yeah. Or maybe like a Samuel L. Jackson. You just be like a crazy fucking Reed version of one.
But, you know, it's crazy because... You know, it's the accountability, the acceptability, and the avenues that life leads you. You know, I started out doing this show with sport-minded aspects. Did I ever, you know, come to the assumption that I would end up, you know, being called a therapist by just about every fucking buddy that comes on the show? No. Did I realize I was going to get some of the opportunities that I have out of the sport? No, I really didn't. But you know what? To the people listening, I just want to let you know, I was with corporate. You know, I did corporate radio. You can step away from the aspect of that. Correlate your thoughts in a organic aspect and still rise to the level that you want to be. You just have to do it with the greatest intent. You know, and I kind of want to end today's show on that aspect. When we look at life, people truly don't give the full intent or give 100%, I guess would be the best way to say it, into fixing a situation. You know, we talked about leadership as an action, not a position. And I firmly believe that in life. You know, I just think accountability, acceptability, and people that are feeling entitled are ruling society. And until that barrier is broken, I truly don't think we're going to see a change in any aspect for the better. You know, MF, what are your thoughts?
I think it's you know, going to be up to the individuals. You know, a little bit goes a long way. If you like, all you got to do is just touch, you know, the right person's heart, and they might be the ones that fucking change the world. You know what I mean? So you never know who you're going to come across. I just try to do the best I can with what's in front of me. You know, that's all I ever expect out of anybody else, you know. Sometimes you get dealt a shit hand, sometimes you get dealt a sweet hand. But, you know, I've seen motherfuckers win with nothing in their hand, and I've seen people lose a hand that had a great hand, you know. So I think it comes down to the individuals, people that got thick enough skin or strong enough in their morals. I'm just saying, as people to be able to be attacked, you know, physically, verbally, emotionally, mentally, you know what I mean? Like, people got to be willing to be able to go through that shit in order to be able to help anybody. If you can't stand up to that, dude, like, the world's a dark, cold place, you know? But that's just my opinion.
Travis.
You know, I got to agree. And I think it just, you know, people need to wake up in the morning and they need to ask themselves, you know, what kind of person do I want to be? How do I want to carry myself? Do I want to be someone who's always afraid? Do I want to be someone who's insecure? Do I want to be someone who's weak? Or do I want to get up today and say, fuck that, I'm going to fucking try harder. I'm going to work out harder. I'm going to run farther. I'm going to read more. I'm going to do the things that I know are going to help me gain skills so that I can become a more formidable person, you know? And I have a huge problem with our society wanting to take, you know, our children and make them weak, make them sensitive, tell them that there are no winners, tell them that everybody's a fucking winner and nobody's a fucking loser, that there's no skills or no difference between LeBron James and anybody else because everyone gets a participation trophy, you know? I think people just need to take it upon themselves to become a stronger person, whether it's mentally, whether it's physically, whether it's spiritually. You know, you have to wake up every day and decide that I'm going to be a better person than yesterday, that I'm going to be more honest than yesterday, that I'm going to work harder today than yesterday. And I think that if the individuals...
do something about it.
Exactly. I think if the individuals can wake up and make that decision, you know, I've said it before, if everybody in the world just woke up tomorrow and decided not to murder anybody, there would be no murder for a day. I get that is incredibly fucking simplistic and not realistic at all. But it's just the fact that, you know, like MF said, you have to change your mindset before you can change anybody else's mindset. You know, fill up your cup before you can fill up anybody else's.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there. You know, I just want it all, man. Like Rodney King said, can't we just get along?
Yeah. See what he got for his fucking words.
Yeah, right.
People weren't too happy about him.
Oh, man, it's just, I don't know, man, on this final thought, I'm still stuck deep in thought about the demise of the Catholic Church, because we spoke about it with Preacher Man on the show the other day, and it just goes to show you that falsities come in every shape, form, size, whatever it may be. You know, you may think you can trust in somebody, you may think you can believe in them, but... do we truly? I mean, do you know the person? Do you truly know the person that you sleep next to at night? Think about that thought for the day. Ponder that thought. Do you really know when you go to sleep? Do you really know that person sleeping next to you? You look at history. You look at, you know, the outcome of way life has been. And we truly don't. You know, it's something we have to take in our heart and something we have to trust with. You know, so... I think it's great that we don't know each other in the face-to-face aspect, but that day will, you know, soon be here. But the thing I love most is, like we've always said on the show, three minds, three different generations coming together, sharing different aspects and thoughts, but still walking away family. You know, people, if you can take anything away from the show, take that aspect away. You can embed a thought. You can voice your words, but you don't have to walk away with an enemy with somebody. On that note, I'm going to turn the mic to Travis. Travis, you got anything else you got to say before we end the show, brother?
Yeah, just since we're on the topic of leadership, man, anybody who is, you know, thinking about that, I've already plugged the book a couple times on here. That's Jocko Willink, JOCKOWILINK. He's a Navy SEAL commander. He's an absolute fucking badass. He has a podcast called the Jocko Podcast. And his new book that just came out is called The Dichotomy of Leadership. And it breaks down just the psychology of all of the great leaders from, you know, the past and how to implement those into your life. So I think just going along with today's show, anybody whose piece of literature on actually being a leader and what it actually takes, that's Jocko Willink, The Dichotomy of Leadership. Everybody should check it out.
You there, brother. MF, the random thought of the week, and we're not talking about Travis.
Look, and you know, this one's actually not that random, because I've actually been thinking about this for a while. But this is for the listeners, you know what I mean, like kind of what you brought up. Like, I'm appreciative of the people that, you know, listen to the show. I'm appreciative of you actually doing the show, Don. You know, it's like, here just how everything goes, and it's a breath of fresh air, you know what I mean? And as it's growing, I kind of, you know, maybe that's why people believe in this show or people choose to be, you know, to listen to this show. But it's like, we're here for all of this, and we're here for all you guys. You know what I mean? Like, we're saying shit, yeah, that's our honest opinion. But there's no, you're not alone. You know what I mean? You're not alone. We're misfits. We're outsiders. You know, like, I play that role quite well. You know what I mean? I'll always be here to listen. And sometimes you just need somebody to listen rather than just give you answers. You know, but if anybody wants to call in, call in, we'll have a conversation. Doesn't have to be about anything. Could have been about your day. Like, remember that dude that called for Valentine's Day at Chipotle, dude? Like, it could be anything like that. But either way, it's like, engage the conversation. You know, we'll go from there. You never know. We might get along.
Yes, you know, I love that show when that kid called in. That was pretty dope. That will be one of my favorites because, you know, he came to us for advice and took, you know, what he could from the show. And
he was,
you know,
winning, bro. He was winning. That whole situation was like, fuck your friends, bro. Like, you're doing fine.
Yeah. You know, and I'm sure everything went well for him. You know, we haven't heard anything bad back from him, so.
I still wish he'd call back in, you know what I mean? I really do. I'd like to hear how that shit went.
So would I, you know, and it surprises me, you know, who listens to the show because, you know, like I said, the people from the comic book aspect, you know, according to them, because I'm really the type that doesn't believe any bullshit that's put in front of me, and so I researched these individuals, and then I said, okay, you know me, how? What do you know about me? And let me tell you, they knew an awful lot. Kind of scary in some essence, but it shows that they truly know why and where and how they want to do their unveiling, and they chose to do it on my show. And, you know, I agreed to do it, and we'll see how things go. It's going to be a different aspect, a new genre that I'm going to be playing in my world. But, I mean, I've had authors on before. I think the only two guests that I've ever turned down on my show, one is on the music show, and that being Demi Lovato, and the other was the Real Housewives of Orange County, and I didn't see how I correlated to any of them. On that note, I want to thank you, my homies. It's been a pleasure doing another episode with you. I look forward to next week where we can stir up some shit again and tell the truth as it should be told. And if you don't agree with us, call in and tell us different. Until then, man, peace out, my brothers.
Word.
Much love.
Much love, guys. Talk to you later. You know, I love this show. Get to talk about anything and everything and get to keep it real. And Tennessee, coming for you real soon. On that note, have a good day. God bless you. And until next time, peace.